And today, being Easter Sunday, we're going to think about the reason for Christ coming to earth and the dispensational approach of his coming to earth and giving himself on the cross for the human race. And there we pause. Under prophecy, did he give himself for the human race? And it'll be, well, indistinct if you just look at prophecy. So we're going to start out with 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now that's the writing of the Apostle Paul. He came into the world to save sinners. But under prophecy, did he? So we use the dispensational method of understanding Scripture. Under the law, under the prophets, under prophecy, we're going to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. The Lord said in his Sermon on the Mount, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law, nay, I've come to fulfill it." His purpose for coming under prophecy was to fulfill the law. Remember the words of John the Baptist when he saw the Lord approaching? In John 1:29, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Now, under prophecy, how could that be done? Israel must first be saved. And then as a nation of priests, they would be the channel of blessing for the world. That they would be the evangelists of the human race if they as a nation accepted Jesus as their Messiah. Notice the words, "Behold the Lamb." Where does that come from? The law. They had to offer the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice of the Lamb on the altar. In Leviticus 17, verse 11, and you'll recognize that is still under the law, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your souls." And so under law, they were to offer the sacrifice of bulls and of goats to take away the sin of, well, it didn't take away the sin, it only atoned for the sin, didn't it? Year by year, they had the time of atonement, day of atonement. And every time they committed a sin, they had to offer a blood sacrifice for that sin. Depending on the sin, depended upon their ability. The life of the flesh was in the blood, and God gave it to be an atonement for the soul under law. Keep that in mind. Under the law. In Hebrews 10, verse 4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin." That's why I said it was an atonement. But, in verse 12 of Hebrews 10, "But this man," referring to Jesus Christ, "but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Christ came into the world to save sinners. But who were those sinners? Under prophecy, he said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Matthew 15, verse 24. In Revelation, and let's bear in mind that Revelation is not a book for the body of Christ. It's a book of fulfilled prophecy for Israel, yes. In verse 9 of chapter 5 of Revelation, they sang a new song saying, "Thou," referring to Christ, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us," who's us? Israel. "Redeemed us to God by thy blood." Now, up to this point, we have talked about those who were under the law. But what about those who were not under the law? How are they to be redeemed? Well, let's look at a few verses in Romans 2, verse 14. The fact, "For when the Gentiles which have not the law," The Gentiles did not have the law. Prophecy did not pertain to them. The law did not pertain to them. Israel was given the law. We know that from Exodus 19, verse 3. Thus shalt thou say unto the house of Israel, the house of Judah, only, not the Gentiles. Surprise? Well, by this time it shouldn't be. When the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, they become their own law. They aren't under the law. It becomes a law unto themselves. So, how is it possible that Christ died for us? Here we have to apply the dispensational understanding interpretation of God's Word. How could Christ die for us? Well, let's go back before the law, back to the beginning, back when Adam sinned, when sin came into the world. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, for as in Adam all die, as in Christ all are made alive. Since by man, Adam, came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, referring to the, as the Bible calls him, the second Adam. In Adam all died. In Christ all have the opportunity to be made alive. Accounting for the difference, I'm going to look at a couple of verses here now. Matthew 26, verse 28. As they sat at the Last Supper, just before the arrest of Christ and the crucifixion, Christ said to his disciples, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Take note, shed for many. In Mark 10, verse 45, same thing, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to give himself a ransom for many. Many, there's that word again. But now we're going to look at 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6. It's similar, but indeed much different. The apostle writes, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Oh, what a passage that one is. Who, of course, is referring to Jesus Christ, as we know from before. He gave himself a ransom for everybody. But, not according to prophecy, not made known to the sons of men. Search as you would, it's the unsearchable riches of Christ, as Ephesians tells us. It says to be testified in due time. Not until Israel rejected the Godhead, Father, Son, and then in Acts the Holy Spirit, and not until they were set aside by God, not until they joined the Gentiles in unbelief. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, he says in Romans 11:32. Now they are concluded in unbelief, the Jews as well as Gentiles. God committed this message of grace to the Apostle Paul. And at the right time, we have the testimony. When Paul was given this message and testified of in due time. This explains the mystery, as it was kept secret since the world began. Several times the Apostle Paul refers to this message of grace as not revealed to the sons of men as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Romans 16, verse 25, Paul says it was kept secret since the world began. But now the Apostle Paul says that to him is given this message, this mystery. Another doctrinal dispute comes into mind now. For there is the message of limited atonement. Christ died only for the elect. and unlimited atonement. He died for mankind. Well, if you read only the prophets, and of course the four Gospels, that which pertains to Israel, if you read only those letters, you're going to find that there's limited atonement. He gave himself a ransom for many. Not all, many. But then this message committed to the Apostle Paul and testified in due time says he gave himself a ransom for all. Therein lies the difference. Christ died for the world. There's no room for limited atonement in Paul's gospel. But without Paul's gospel, you're going to have to be stuck with this limited atonement. So now we have seen two emphases of the cross dispensationally. Christ came into the world to save sinners, all, Jew, Gentile. Christ died for all mankind under grace. For by grace are we saved through faith, the Apostle Paul writes. Under the law, he came to fulfill the law. And that he did, and it would have been true if Israel would have received this Jesus as their Messiah. But now they rejected him, and so prophecy fails. We see that in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Prophecies fail. We're not under prophecy today. If we were, it would be limited atonement. But we're under the dispensation of the grace of God. Thus, Jesus Christ is not our Lamb. That was a word for the law. Behold the Lamb of God. He's not our Lamb, nor do we see the tabernacle as a type of grace. That also disturbs me, because people try and make all the various implements of the tabernacle to be a type of this age in which we live. No, it's a type of Israel and their proposed prophesied kingdom. The tabernacle is not a type of Christ in the kingdom. In fact, it has nothing to do with us. It was given to Israel as a place of worship, as a place where they would meet their God. It wasn't given to Gentiles. So we have to cast aside all of this prophecy. Well, I'm not going to say all this prophecy, because there are some parallel truths that exist. But casting away all the prophecies concerning Israel and their hope on earth, and realizing that Paul had a message to proclaim, to be testified in due time. And it was when God chose him to be the apostle of the Gentiles, to give to him the dispensation of the grace of God, to give to him the unveiling of the mystery. And it was done, as Paul was given this message, to be testified in due time. So it's a faithful saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, all sinners, under grace. Not just Israel, but you and me and anyone who will accept the Lord Jesus Christ by faith as their personal Savior, his work on the cross, and his resurrection on that Easter Sunday morning. So it was, and so it must be in our lives as well. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Oh, grace of grace! No wonder it's marvelous grace of our loving Lord.